33-year-old Marissa Alexander, charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, serving a 20-year prison sentence because she fired that what she called a warning shot against her husband during an argument. Nobody was injured. But under the state's mandatory minimum sentencing laws, she's behind bars for 20 years. That conviction thrown out by an appeals court. That appeals court, by the way, critical of Judge James Daniel during the first trial. He has yet to rule on whether she will be granted bond. What are your thoughts about what the judge is thinking might be as he works toward a decision on this?
Well, I think he has somewhat tipped his hand by saying that he has to write an order on this and that he has other cases that he needs to attend to. If he was going to release her on bond, that would be something that he could have done yesterday without a written order. And the very indication that he intends to write an order, I think, indicates that he's going to deny the petition for bond and that he's going to set forth his reasons for doing so in that order. Now, there's really lots of grist for the mill here, a lot of facts that support the denial of bond. Because she's been out on bond before, and when she was out on bond before, she got her husband, Rico Gray, to change his testimony at one time, and then she got in a physical altercation with him, and she was convicted of battery against him in that physical altercation all the time while she was on her prior bond. So the court has plenty of bases for saying that he's not going to release her. The real question is, this is a judgment call. And the primary issue on a bond hearing is, will the defendant show up for trial? And I think Marissa Alexander, you know, has children here. She has ties to the community. She's never refused to show up for trial. And the judge could, in his discretion, decide to give her bond, but it's apparent to me that he's not going to do that.
And we'll go to your calls on this in just a moment at 549-2937. Marissa Alexander, her case has drawn nationwide attention, Rod Sullivan. She has a number of high-profile advocates here on the First Coast who are working to get her released. They believe that she was unfairly convicted. Here, we listen now to State Representative Mia Jones speaking about this and talking about the underlying dynamics of what led to this conviction, an abusive relationship. Here's Mia Jones.
We know that they'll go forward with the new trial, but this allows her the opportunity to come home and be with her children, to be with her family, and to try to start to rebuild a life that, had it not been for domestic violence, we would not be in this situation today.
Rod Sullivan, do you believe that in her second trial, whether or not she's granted bail by Judge Daniel, but in her second trial, she has two very high-profile defense attorneys now, one from South Florida, working for her. Do you see them mounting an aggressive campaign in court to explain the dynamics of abusive relationships and how that affected the outcome?
Well, there's no question about the fact that all of Marissa Alexander's violence is directed toward Rico Gray. And Rico Gray has directed a lot of domestic violence, not just against Marissa Alexander, but against other women in his life. So this is a relationship which is doomed from the start. But let's look at how we deal with this today with how we used to deal with this 30 years ago. I was in the state attorney's office 30 years ago. I was at a first appearance, and a man was had been arrested for domestic violence that night. And when the judge said he wasn't going to grant the man bond, there was a screech from the audience. And his wife was there saying, "No, you can't put him in jail. I love him." And then the judge looked through the record and said, "Ma'am, didn't you shoot him in the buttocks just a month ago?" And she said, "Well, yeah, I did. I'm out on bond." So we used to deal with these domestic incidents much more differently than we do today. Marissa Alexander doesn't pose a threat to anybody in the community besides Rico Gray and anybody who happens to be in the way of her firing a firearm. And we used to look upon it, I think, 30 years ago as being a domestic incident that's, you know, confined to endangering the family. The other thing is that, you know, they're going to try to paint this again for a third time as a Stand Your Ground case. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Anger at Stand Your Ground in this case is completely misplaced. This is really, the anger should be imposed on the 1020 life statute, because there's simply no way that a woman who fires a shot at somebody and misses and nobody gets hurt should be doing a mandatory 20 years. But people seem to be focusing on this as a stand-your-ground issue.
And you see this more. You see this more as a chance to reexamine mandatory minimums.
I think so. I don't think there's anybody in the world who thinks that 20 years is a fair sentence for this crime. If she had committed an aggravated assault against Rico Gray using a club or a knife or her car, you know, she'd likely be, if convicted, out of jail in 3 years or so. But the fact is that because she used a firearm and she discharged that firearm, it's now a 20-year crime instead of a 3-year crime.
Lots of calls. Meanwhile, what are your thoughts about the Marissa Alexander case? Judge James Daniel has yet to rule on whether she should be granted bail as she awaits a second trial. The conviction in her first trial was thrown out by an appeals court. What are your thoughts? 549-2937. Steve is along 9A this morning. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think what everybody's getting the lesson out of here is you're going to pull a gun on somebody, shoot to kill. So that way you don't have these type of issues.
You think that...
If she was scared of her life, there's no such thing as a warning shot. You end the threat right then and there. That's it. That's the way it's taught. That's the way it should be.
And you believe that if she had done that, she would have been acquitted of murder?
Yeah, because you need two sides of the story to figure it out. And if all they have is her side, and there's not his side except a dead body, she wouldn't be in this situation.
Steve, thanks.
If you're in fear of your life and you pull a gun on somebody, you're shoot to kill. You don't pull a gun and fire it in the air. You kill the person for the threat that's in your way.
All right, Steve. Rod Sullivan, I know you just got done saying this really isn't a stand-your-ground case, but those that don't like stand-your-ground have made that argument that it's better to shoot to kill than to have two sides to the narrative. What about
that? I mean, as a matter of fact, that's true but unfortunate. And the legislature is right now dealing with that issue. There's been a bill filed called the Defensive Use of Force Bill. It's a House Bill 89 filed by Representative Combi out of the Pinellas County area, but it's been signed on to by, I'm guessing, roughly around 20 Republican representatives, and it's got strong support in the House of Representatives. And I will predict to you that this Defensive Use of Force Bill will probably pass through the legislature. And what it basically says is that if you display a firearm in event to prevent violence or to prevent the commission of a violent crime, that's not considered to be deadly use of force. And if you fire a warning shot, that's not considered to be deadly use of force either. So it is sort of meant to deal with the Marissa Alexander allegation or defense that she's firing a warning shot.
549-2937 to join the conversation this morning on First Coast Connect. Let's go to Pastor Troy on the east side. Hi, Pastor Troy. How are you this morning, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Thank you.
That's wonderful. I just want to say that what we are dealing with here is equal application of the law for all citizens. Stand-your-ground laws don't seem to work very effective for black folks. It's worked very effective for white folks, not black folks. That's why Jacksonville and Florida in particular is perceived as a redneck state, a state that's steeped in race. And those laws, the Standing Ground Law, was written for Caucasians basically to commit violence against black people and get away with it. I think Marissa Alexander deserves to be released. I think she's learned a lesson. I think that the crime has to meet the punishment. And certainly the punishment in this case does not meet the crime. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you, Pastor, as a follow-up, what's your reaction, though, to Professor Sullivan saying that those who are angry about Marissa Alexander's situation should direct their ire not toward Florida's Stand Your Ground statute, but the 1020 life law? No, we lost his call. But Rod Sullivan, certainly this case is polarizing, and people see it through a racial lens. Marissa Alexander is African-American. Many in the community do perceive that she has been treated unfairly because of her race and gender. Those perceptions are powerful, and they may be driving some of the narrative on this. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think I'd like to address this comment that Florida is a redneck state because it has Stand Your Ground. And the fact is that the federal Stand Your Ground is really another way of saying, do you have a duty to retreat if you can avoid violence by retreating? And The United States Supreme Court has said there is no constitutional responsibility for somebody to retreat. Most states do not have a requirement to retreat, and Florida was really in the minority of states in saying that you had this duty to retreat. So the Florida legislature passed the Stand Your Ground law, which really puts us in line with most of the states throughout the nation. That's why I say that I think Stand Your Ground is misunderstood. Now, the problem in Marissa Alexander's case is that Rico Gray had a right to be where he was. They had children in common. He had visitation rights. So she didn't have the right to stand your ground against him while they were in their own house. Stand your ground applies when you have somebody that's coming into the house who doesn't have a right to be there, and you do have a right to be there. You have the right to stand your ground and use deadly force to prevent a crime from being committed. That's why Stand Your Ground really doesn't, you know, nobody has found, the jury and two judges have not found that Stand Your Ground applies in this situation, and it really doesn't.
What about, though, whenever we discuss this case, you know, we do always on the program receive calls from African-American listeners who strongly believe that Stand Your Ground tends to favor white defendants, even though, as you said, it's not perhaps applicable in totality when you look at the particulars of this case. That is, there does seem to be that perception.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing is that Stand Your Ground gives an advantage to those people who are in their homes or on their property and resisting against somebody who's coming in from off of their property. And even in the African-American community, in black-on-black crime, Stand Your Ground applies equally as it does when there's white-on-black crime. I guess the fact that it's more likely to be a white homeowner shooting an African-American intruder than it is to be, certainly vice versa. The cases of white intruders breaking into African-American homes is a very small percentage of the reverse. And I guess it's also a fact that African-American homeowners shooting African-American intruders is not nearly as prevalent as for instance, a white intruder shooting an African-American intruder.
Meanwhile, the state's attorney's office sent their response yesterday to this matter, requesting that bond be denied. It's a long response, but just wanted to get that on the record as well. 549-2937 to join the program. Jeff in St. Augustine. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning. Well, I guess my comment was in line with that first caller, although he sounded pretty pro-stand your ground. I'm not pro-stand your ground, but, I mean, to make the point, if she told them, I mean, I don't know if he had permission to be in the house, whatever. I guess it wouldn't be stand your ground. It would just be straight-up self-defense in that case, and she'd have no onus to prove self-defense because the state doesn't have that part to the law.
But you know what, Jeff, again, as the professor was saying, she's serving 20 years not because of stand your ground, but because of the state's mandatory minimum sentencing laws.
Well, right. Well, let's say there wasn't a mandatory minimum. There was a sentencing guideline of, let's say, 7 years. She'd be serving 7 years. Had she killed him, she would most likely be serving no time. And, you know, I mean, there was a person in Detroit this week that killed a motorist, a black motorist, who knocked on their door because her car either broke down or she was in an accident. There was a former college football player in North Carolina 2 months ago, an African-American that got in a serious car accident, was almost dying, went to knock on someone's door in complete distress, was shot and killed. And everyone says, oh, I feared for my life. There's a black person knocking on my door. You know, and I just think as a society, we're just in this really, really dangerous spot. I mean, the NRA now is trying to say, oh, we don't have a murder problem in the U.S. Look, hardly any white people shoot each other. You know, it's all black on black. If you take out the black on black, we have the same murder rate as Europe. So I think we're in a really, really dangerous place as a society, and it's deeply concerning.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Meanwhile, lots of comments coming in on our First Coast Connect Facebook page. Kathy says she believes Marissa Alexander should be granted bond, saying she is no threat to society, and according to this morning's Times Union, her husband has no fear of her either. Rod Sullivan, the defense in this case will try to make that argument, won't they, that Rico Gray is not afraid of Marissa Alexander?
Yeah, but they will. And this is a judgment call on the court's behalf. And another judge could look at the same set of facts and say, look, Marissa Alexander is not a flight risk. She's not a risk to Rico Alexander. She's not a risk to the rest of the community. We can let her out pending her next trial. And that would be a perfectly acceptable result as well.
Let's go to Hector in Jacksonville. Hi, Hector. Thanks for calling in. Good morning to you.
Yes, I have a couple of disagreements. I just tuned to the, program. And I'm going to start with the case in particular. I'll talk very fast. That young lady, she went looking for trouble. She shot at a gentleman. She probably could have killed somebody. So she's in jail. And actually, that's where she needs to stay because, you know, I understand, you know, the black protesters and all this, but they need to look at this. This was a black person, too, that she tried to kill. So I don't think she should be granted bond because if it was a white gentleman that did that, they wouldn't be out there protesting. And the second thing is, on Stand Your Ground, the majority of people that have been killed in the Stand Your Ground cases, they have been black, and they have not been breaking into anyone's homes. I'll give you an instance. Right on the north side of Jacksonville, that young man was killed just for sitting in a vehicle with some more kids. He was murdered. The same thing with this Trayvon Martin situation, and we can go from Texas to Florida because the laws seem to be similar. But, you know, the Stand Your Ground, to me, is just a license for a person who may happen to be white to kill a black or Hispanic if they choose so on the street at any given time. And it's kind of frightening as a Hispanic man walking down the street, you know, at any given time, I'm sort of afraid, you know, if I might accidentally step on, you know, a white gentleman's shoe, he may not like it, I might accidentally cut him off, not on purpose, and he may kill me. Or, you know, and you know, it kind of makes me nervous as a minority myself to Stand Your Ground law because it's geared to white men to be able to kill, you know, blacks, you know, and I'm Hispanic, you know, and I, like I said, that's the way I see it, but I don't think she should be let go. I think she needs to do time for what she did because, you know, like I said, if she was, if that had been a white man, if she had did that too, she'd still be in there, and, you know, blacks, you know, their lives are worth something too, and that's all I have to say.
All right, Hector, thanks. Lots of calls on this topic. Kay in Jacksonville is with us. Hi, Kay. Good morning. Your thoughts?
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I understand that this lady, Marissa, had a restraining order against her husband. And I never hear nobody talking about that restraining order. So he broke the law. He was not in compliance of the law if she had a restraining order. So I just want to get some clarity. And maybe the person that you have there, he has more information than I do. Maybe she didn't have a restraining order.
All right. Thanks, Kay. Rod Sullivan, there were a lot of incidents between this couple, as we've laid out. There were incidents of domestic violence leading up to this final incident. But what about her question?
Well, my understanding, I had not heard that there was a restraining order in place before August 10th. When the initial crime occurred. When she was released on bond, there was a restraining order preventing her from having contact with him. And she violated that restraining order when she went over to his house to get him to sign a birth certificate so that one of her children could get on her medical insurance. During the course of that discussion, his testimony is that she attacked him first. And then there's no question about the fact that he brutally beat her in response to her attack. She ended up going to jail for aggravated battery. She went to jail for battery and did 365 days as a result of that. And he did not get charged because he was perceived to be the victim. Nevertheless, I have always thought it was, you know, this Rico Gray is not a very, sympathetic victim. In my opinion, and the fact that she might have hit him and he beat her to a pulp, I think speaks badly for his character.
Let's go to Linda in Orange Park this morning. Lots of calls on the Marissa Alexander case here on First Coast Connect today. Hi, Linda. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I think that when we bring representatives on the air, they need to have done their homework. The gentleman just said he was unaware. If you will go back to Marissa Alexander's trial, her attorney laid out not only Marissa Alexander, but all of his previous girlfriends gave testimony that he was an abusive person. Yeah. She did have a restraining order. She did have a right. She did not have a right. We just got over. Do we realize that most of the women that are killed by abusive spouses and boyfriends in Jacksonville are black? So So do not dismiss the fact that this black woman, she has a right to defend herself, or she has a restraining order. Or are we saying that because she had children with him, she should have left him in there to beat her again if they had a disagreement? Please do your facts before people come on the program and not dismiss this because, I don't know there was a restraining order. Do your homework before you come on the air, please.
Thanks, Linda.
Well, let me respond to that, because I just don't think she's correct that there's a restraining order out there. He had visitation rights with these children. He was lawfully in the house visiting the children at the time this whole August 10th incident occurred. So he was not in violation, to my knowledge, of any restraining order at the time that the initial event occurred. So I would just have to disagree with her understanding of the facts. Is he an abusive person? There's no question about the fact that he's an abusive person. He's not only abused Marissa Alexander, but other women in his life. And she was allowed to plead self-defense. And the jury came back.
And you know what? I'm pulling up Time Magazine's coverage of this, Rod, from last year. And I'm direct quote, her 36-year-old husband, Rico Gray, was arrested in 2009 for attacking her and sending her to the hospital, after which she got a restraining order against him.
Ah.
So that's not to say it was in place the day of the incident that sent her to jail. But she did seek that protection.
Okay, my mistake.
Yeah, so just wanted to clarify that. In the meantime, lots of calls. Let's go to Joe in Palm Coast. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for having me on the air. I'm just responding to several of the callers earlier, and particularly making the stand your ground case that, that it's a racial issue, and that's not what it was designed for. And, I'm Hispanic, and it's ridiculous. Another caller had said that, he'd be afraid to stand his ground against a white person. And I just want to defend stand your ground and the fact that it wasn't made for white people. And for a pastor to, raise that issue here in Jacksonville is ridiculous.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for the many calls and comments. Certainly, this case is provoking strong opinions. And so the next hearing set for January 15th, her second trial, Rod, set for March of 2014. But as you indicated at the top of the hour, you believe Judge Daniel, based on your reading of the tea leaves in this, you don't think he's going to grant her bond, correct?
That's correct. I think she'll stay in jail pending her trial.
Well, I appreciate you so much calling into the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Melissa.
Rod Sullivan is a professor with the Florida Coastal School of Law. More about this today on our website at wjctnews.org.